Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for a Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
You're a candidate for county judge in Mason County, and it's a spot where it's an open seat. The judge is retiring, the current judge is retiring, and what prompted you to decide to run for office? Have you ever run before?
Yes, okay. But this time my main concern was the ARPA funds. Okay. We signed a contract, the county signed a contract, and in the contract it said that we would be beholden to follow executive orders, all executive orders.
Back up, the ARPA funds stand for what?
American Rescue Plan Act. And that money, I believe, is a bribe that was sent to us by the federal government. They induced us and a whole lot of other counties to sign a contract directly with the United States Department of the Treasury. They went around the state, so we don't have the protections of having the state between us, which we had before. Mm-hmm. And it also has another part of the contract is the Uniform Relocation Assistance and Property Acquisitions Act of 1970. And that's about eminent domain and about taking private property and putting it in the name of the federal government for possibly federal park lands or whatever. But Joe Biden signed an executive order, which we are, of course, bound to honor now, and it was executive order number 14008. Everybody needs to write that down, because 14008 is the 30 by 30 plan, which is he plans to take control of 30% of the United States land and 30% of the seas by 2030. That's the plan. And if you look at a map, you look at the United States map from about Midway and then west, it's mostly federally owned land. Now in Texas, we only have about 1.8% of federal land. So they're looking at, I think, coming into these states that are food producing states. And
obviously this is a key issue for you. That's your key issue. Why did you decide to run? Why run for judge with that as the issue?
I had that issue, and it horrified me because we raise cattle on land that's been in my husband's family for 150 years. And the thought of anybody coming to Mason, Texas, all these old ranches, and the new people, too, that come in with their hard-earned money and bought these places and want to be good stewards, and the thought that it was a threat. So at first, I sought out some men that I thought would make good county judges, and I said, I think you should try to run, because it would be nice to have a man. Man would be easily electable, and I thought that could be a game changer. But they all had something going on, and finally one of them said, you do it. And I was like, me? God does use flawed people and unlikely people sometimes. But I went to my opponent first, right off the bat, and I said, how do you feel about this? Would you consider facilitating sending the money back and getting out of that contract? And at first she didn't answer because she was on the clock, but then, you know, we communicated via text several times, and the last time, because it was very busy, it was Christmas time, mm-hmm. and I sent her the final one on a Saturday. I hadn't heard from her for several days, and I said, I know you're busy with your kids and the holidays and your husband, just text me back yes if you would facilitate it, and no if you wouldn't. And she didn't respond. So that was the Sunday before the deadline, which was on a Monday. And Monday night, I was thinking, oh, Lord. And I said, if you want me to run, God, just make me feel at peace about it, and I'll sign up.
The question is, as judge, how would you make that change? How would you do that? How do you see that happen?
I would muster the support of the people, mm-hmm. and I would have them communicate with their county commissioners. And then I would see if we could just facilitate doing the exact same thing that the city did, because the city signed the contract first, and then they sent it back. There's apparently some feature on a website where they can send the money back electronically to the same place that it came from, and that would terminate their contract, which is going to be in effect until December 31st of 2026, which we're supposed to abide by executive orders, and we don't even know who the president will be in 2026.
So you see it as an opportunity that, you know, as judge, that you could, you know, as you said, muster the support of the community, some people, to convince the commissioners to basically change their mind. And what about the money that's already been set, committed?
We're going to have to make that up. We're going to have to come up with that somehow. We're going to have to find a way. I mean, I know that we had budgeted for ambulances before, so it might take a little bit, but we've got to send that money back as quickly as we can. We're going to have to suck it up, because we mustn't be beholden to the federal government without our protections.
That's your primary issue. That's one primary issue. Let's back up for a step. Tell me about yourself. What's your background, and where do you come from?
Well, my father lied about his age and got into the Army, and then he got into the Air Force, and then my mom met him in San Antonio at an Air Force dance, and they got married and went to Germany. And the whole time he kept saying, "I really want to be a doctor. I really want to be a doctor." And my mom said, "Well, we can make that happen. When we get out of here, let's go back to your home state, Mississippi, and I'll put you through medical school." So my dad became a doctor. He graduated first in his medical school class at Ole Miss. And then he was offered a scholarship to study neurology in an Ivy League school. And in the meantime, my aunt Minnie Schmidt and my favorite uncle Kelly Schmidt said, "Mason, Texas doesn't have a doctor, and we need one really badly." So they said, "Okay, we'll come." They actually told him they'd give him the hospital if he came to Mason. So we all moved here, and that was back in 1961. And then I came back to Mason in 1988. But when I was in Colorado, I started doing news on the radio in 1984. I had a television show in Aspen, Grassroots TV, for a while. And then I came back to my dad said, my husband left, and I had four kids, and my father said, "If you'll move back to Mason, I will send all your horses to the ranch, and I'll get you a place." So that's how it went down, and I ended up back here with my kids and my...
So currently, you mentioned your husband?
Right. My husband has been a police officer here since 1984. He's fifth-generation Mason County cattle rancher. It's Quinn Jones. He married me with four kids, and we had two more. A very brave man, never wanted kids. He was a great dad, though. Is a great dad.
So how do you, with your background, how do you think all that fits in running for judge? Decide to do that.
I covered a lot of meetings under Judge Bearden and also his two predecessors, Judge Goad and Judge Tommy Reardon. It's my husband's cousin. They're all my husband's cousins. But I've been through a lot of those meetings, and I've gathered a lot of information as far as like things that worked in the past, things that failed in the past, and I think that, and I also know a lot of people. I know a lot of old commissioners. I know a lot of people that have been involved in all this stuff over the years. And peripherally, my husband, being a police officer here, you know, you learn about the EMS, and I was a 911 operator, dispatcher, and jailer over at the county jail, so I know about maintaining composure in an emergency. I've, you know, handled multiple car wrecks and prisoners and flood, famine, pestilence.
All of those sorts of things. Obviously, you know, the ARPA, which is what people call the COVID-19 relief fund, you know, COVID money related to COVID-19 is a key issue for you. What about others? What else?
Well, I would like to see the EMS. It's a main focus for me because we're 100 miles from a trauma center.
Right.
And time is of the essence when it comes to outcomes. And I really believe that if we could go back to the way we had it with Linda Williams, when we had, she would put on classes to train EMTs, basics, and intermediates. So we'd have a mix, not just paramedics, but a mix of EMTs and basics. Because right now we have only enough crew for one ambulance. And so if we get a second out, we don't have anybody there to respond. So like a few weeks ago, there was a call and somebody was being hauled to Brady to the hospital, and there was no crew for the second out. So I think that that would be something that I would address, and I would address their living quarters. I think they need to be expanded on so that it can accommodate more people that can stay there. But we need to flesh out the ambulance crew. We've got, currently I was looking at the budget, and it said that it had 6 places that were budgeted for paramedics, but none for EMTs or basics. So I think that would be a big deal. And, you know, we might even incorporate some volunteers, because a lot of times people like to help take care of the people of their communities. And we used to be all volunteer. You remember? Yeah. You remember.
Any other issues?
Oh, the road and bridge. I think we need to give them whatever they need. But I also think we need to not pay the road and bridge hands like top wages as soon as they hire on. We've got to incentivize them to get their CDLs, because we don't have, I think we only have a couple of guys that have CDLs, and that's very important. And I think we've got good hands, and I think we've got some equipment, but I think we need to get some new equipment, but get the kind that the boss requests, not just what you can find on sale or get a good deal on. And the other thing is the materials, because apparently there's a big difference in gravel. Who knew? But if it's got like binders in it, like clay, makes better road material. So we need to focus on getting a really, really good quality base so that we can maintain these roads, because we've got a world-class EMS, we've got world-class firefighters, but if we don't have roads to get there, it's going to slow things down or make an impasse.
The big issue for the county every year is the budget. So how do you see the budget? What's happening with it, how would you like to see it in the future?
I think that our county commissioners and our county Judge Bearden have done an excellent job with the budget all these years, and I think that I'd like to continue what they've done. I'd like to kind of tighten our belts when it comes to spending, make sure that we focus on the most important life-saving things. And I believe that when more people move in and we get more revenue because they're building houses and the land prices have gone through the roof, I think we need to adjust the tax rate so that we keep the amount coming in static. We don't have to have a whole lot more money, and we don't have to spend everything that we get. But I think it's very important that we give people property tax relief. And that's another issue that I have, is property tax. You know, I really like the idea of doing away with property tax and going straight to the cash register, so that it, not medicine, not on food, not on ag, but on anything else, so that you can, it's the most American and Texan thing, you can decide for yourself how much you want to pay in taxes based on how frugally or how extravagantly you want to live.
What you're saying when you say go to the cash register, you really mean a sales tax?
Yes.
Okay, a sales tax. So when you're talking to folks and you tell them you're running for office and you have these issues that you're concerned about, sort of how do you wrap up? What do you tell them? You know, this is why you should vote for me.
I say this has been my home for decades and decades. I love Mason. I love the people here. I hate injustice. I really hate injustice. And I want to serve. And I will always remember that the judge is the servant of the people and the servant of the commissioner's court. And I want to serve. And I will never forget who my constituents are. And I'll have an open door. And I will promote openness in the meetings. I want to see more radio coverage of the meetings. I want to have conversations with the media. And I think that participation, the public participation, is how it works. If you don't have public participation, it's not going to work the way it's designed to. But I believe in God. And I think that we all need to remember that we're neighbors, and that the day after the election, we're all going to still be seeing each other in the grocery store. And however it works out is the right way, because God's got us. God loves Mason County. And God bless Mason County.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.